Brooks Robinson in Little Rock, Arkansas native. Good afternoon, Mr. Robinson. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, and please call me Brooks. Okay. I always say Mr. Robinson was my dad.
Well, I'm going to call you Mr. Robinson.
It's good. It's great to be with you, and I look forward to getting home. I love Little Rock. I love Arkansas, and every time I get a chance to get back there, I'm on my way.
Mr. Robinson, we apologize. We're on the road today, and we had a little technical issue there.
Sure.
Matt was asking you about the Los Angeles Dodgers game last night where a couple of players got thrown at. How many did that ever happen to you?
Well, we thought it did once in a while. I tell you what, that must have been pretty serious out there last night. But, you know, I played for such good teams. The thing we didn't want to do was get into a knockdown contest and somebody like Boog Powell or Frank Robinson get hurt. So we really, Earl Weaver always tried to, he didn't want any part of knockdown contests. But I know that Billy, we played the Yankees, and Billy Martin and Earl Weaver never really liked one another. And I didn't know if anything was ever going to break out or not. But I always told Cleet Boyer, the third baseman for the Yankees, if anything breaks out, I'm coming over to you, and we'll just dance around. And that's it, but nothing ever happened.
That's my style right there. I like that.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You get in the middle of those things, and it's just not worth it. But I know that I just heard about the contest, the knockdown contest last night, and it's too bad. But it's going to happen once in a while. But they'll, you know, getting thrown out of the game or being fined, well, that's, you just you don't want that to happen.
Brooks, talk about, if you will, coming back to Little Rock, and take us back a little bit. Tell us about your days of growing up in Little Rock, the Stiff Station area, and your days at Lamar Porter.
Well, I sure will. I tell you what, sometimes I can't remember what happened yesterday, but I have a wonderful recollection of growing up in Little Rock, going to school at Woodruff School right across the street. I'd just fall out of school, and I'm at Lamar Porterfield. But I spent a lot of days, many, many days there. I worked on the scoreboard. I sold cold drinks. I cleaned up after the game. It was just a wonderful place to go. You know, in 1948, they had the World Championship softball, fast-pitch softball, with teams like Tip Top Taylors of Toronto, Clearwater Bombers, Briggs Beauty Wear out of Detroit. And then on Sundays over there, they would have the Catholic schools would play tackle football. I always played in grammar school there. In the sixth grade, we always played touch footballs. But I kind of tagged along after my dad, who played baseball there, and I played for the fire department, softball, Riverside Nursery, and baseball. And I was a bat boy, so I really got acclimated to Porter Field in a hurry. But it was just not for baseball. It was a boys' club field, and they had four wonderful tennis courts there. And every year there was a big match between Norman Clausen and Mike Mahaffey to see who was the city champions. And I was part of that, but just watching it. But I spent a lot of time there as a youngster, and I always tell people about they had a bubblegum blowing contest. Bub Bubblegum, B-U-B, Bubblegum, had a bubble blowing contest. And I lived right across the street in the Arkansas School for the Deaf, so I told my mother, I said, Mom, I'm going to walk to Lamar Porter because I'm going to win that contest. And you know what? I drove home on a brand new Swin bicycle. But I just got so many wonderful memories over there of playing and being with the Doughboys and Midget League, Junior League, and it's just a wonderful spot. And the revitalization project that they're talking about now is just what it needs.
And Brooks, I saw that you had won two World Series, and wanted to get your thoughts on that, on being a World Series champion. And first, I wanted to ask you about some of the new up-and-comer guys. You know, you got Yasiel Puig for the Dodgers, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, some of these up-and-coming athletes where it seems like, you know, nowadays the athletes are playing basketball or football, but you have some good athletes playing baseball again.
Well, you do. You know, baseball has been hurt, I guess, by the inner city and the Afro-Americans. They're playing basketball most of the time, but Major League Baseball has a program called RBIs, and it's strictly for the inner cities, the building ballparks and furnishing equipment, and try to get the Afro-Americans interested in baseball again. It just it's too bad, but it's been they've just been dwindling in numbers. But there are some good young players around. I have not seen this kid from Cuba play. I saw him on ESPN one night, but he must be something else. And you know, I had a chance to play in Cuba one winter, 1957. I played winter baseball in Havana. And, of course, that was the best place to play. They had the best players. And, of course, it got shut down a couple of years later by Castro. But now you see some of the Cuban players getting away from Cuba and coming to the States and able to play. But every year, I mean, we've got a kid here in Baltimore now, Machado. He's a third baseman, 20 years old. I guess he'd be 21 at the end of this year, but a terrific-looking player. But each year you see these young kids come around, and you just I think you see the love for they have for the game, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's awesome. I could listen to you.
I did play in four World Series, though. That was a big thrill. When I signed out of high school, 1955, the day I graduated, I signed with the Orioles. I had about six or seven teams that were interested in me signing, and I chose Baltimore because they were the old St. Louis Browns in 1954-53, and then they came to Baltimore in 54. They lost 100 games, and then they were losing 155. 100 in 1955, and Paul Richards, the manager, said, well, look, if you do well in the minor leagues, you'll get a chance to play here early. And I had a pretty good year when I went to York, Pennsylvania. That was Class B at that time. And at the end of the season, the Orioles brought me back, and here I am in the big leagues at 18 years old. So my dream came true. I dreamed about signing, playing in the minor leagues, arriving in the major leagues, and winning a pennant, getting in a World Series. And our first one was 1966, which we won. And then we got in the World Series again in 69, 70, and 71, and we lost two out of three. But being the World Series champs, that's what it's all about.
That's awesome, Brooks. And I wanted to get your thoughts. We've had a lot of conversation on the Hall of Fame for Major League Baseball players and PEDs. Were people doing anything as far as performance enhancing your time? And what are your thoughts on should players that are caught cheating with PEDs, should they be allowed in the Hall of Fame?
Well, let me tell you, I think sooner or later they are going to be allowed. Probably not my lifetime, but they'll keep inching up in the votes and they'll get their 75% to get in. But you can see what the writers, you got 450 or 500 writers voting now, and you can see the percentage guys that like Palmeiro and I can't even think of the names right now, Clemens, and the guys who actually have been accused of it, but they're not getting much support. So it's going to be a long time before they get in. But when you look at it, I mean, they're just cheating. That's all it is. It makes it
right.
It's an unfair playing field. And I think what happens, the guys in the minor leagues, they say, well, these guys are taking PEDs and they're having great years. I'm going to be here in the minor leagues my whole life. So they start taking it. But I think, and I thought it was pretty well cleared up, but it looks like we're going to have a lot of final decrees coming down here pretty soon. So we'll see how it plays out. But it's bad. In my days, the only thing I ever knew about was what they call greenies. It is a amphetamine. It does stimulate your nerve system, but it was like a wake-up pill. I mean, people take it for weight loss.
Like caffeine, yeah.
Yeah, like caffeine. And that's really as far as they weren't doing marijuana, they weren't doing drugs as far as I know. I'm probably the most nonchalant guy in the world, but when it comes to... But anyway, we certainly didn't have the problems they have now, and that's really too bad. But it's all available, and every time you think you have it licked, then something happens and opens up a new can of worms.
Brooks, you're talking about Cooperstown and players. Should they be allowed with the PEDs? Do you get to go back to Cooperstown every year for the induction ceremony?
I was inducted in 83, and I've been back to everyone except two. I had some medical problems here a couple years ago and couldn't do it, and I was doing the Oriole games on television, the color commentary from 78 through 93, and I had to do a game on a Sunday when the inductions were held. So I've missed two since 1983. But it's wonderful. I just go back and I see every guy I see there just brings back wonderful memories. Johnny Bench, Hoyt Wilhelm when he was living. I mean, I just, as soon as see these guys, I just think of the times we had against one another and playing with some of these guys. Jim Palmer and Frank Robinson were on our ball club, and so it's a wonderful place to go during that time of the year, and it's like our own little fraternity.
What are you looking to most this weekend when you come back to Little Rock?
I'm looking to see a lot of my friends. I have no family there, but I talked to Ernie Tabor today, and Ernie and I played in the Little League there. It was called Midget League when we played. We played for the Franklin Pank Bulldogs, and we were known as the Yankees of the Midget League. We were pretty good. And I'll see Ernie there. We played on the Doughboys together, and Harold Ellingson. I've got my friends who I went all through school with, Marshall Gazette, Buddy Rotenberry. So I'm looking forward to seeing these guys and just having a good time shooting the bull more than anything else.
Did you say Marshall Gazette?
Marshall Gazette. I took care of that guy to junior high and high school. And I see him and Buddy Rotenberry. They're two real close friends, but we spent a lot of time together when we were in high school.
It has to be the same Marshall Gazette that my dad is in a Sunday school class at Pulaski Heights, and I think Marshall Gazette is in his class.
That's right. There's only one Marshall Gazette. You can't miss him.
No, you can't miss him. You're exactly right about that. You can't miss him.
But I've gotten back to Arkansas. I played in a golf tournament up in Bentonville, where Walmart is. It's called the First Tee. Mm-hmm. I played in that 3 or 4 years ago, and not the last couple years, but I just enjoy getting home. I mean, it's a great feeling, and it's not your hometown that you're really known for. It's who you are, and I always say, look, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, and proud of it.
Now, when I played baseball growing up, and I had to play a couple of games at Lamar Porter Field, the center field out there, back when you played, was there still that little hill that you had to run up to get to the outfield wall there? Or the fence?
That's exactly right. You got one over the center fielder's head, and it rolled up there in the pines. You just kept running.
Well, when I played, though, they had built the fence, because then you've got the boys' club there. But if there was one hit up on that hill, you've got to watch your steps, because
that's for sure.
Like in some major league ballparks, you could fall flat on your face trying to chase that fly ball.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think you see some guys that run over the auxiliary pitching mound when they're warming up in the big leagues. And so, but that's exactly right. You got to watch one. Well, you know, Travers Field had a little hill out by the scoreboard too, and so it's something that was a little treacherous. You're exactly right, but it's just, I've got so many memories there. It's just unbelievable.
And Brooks, you were listed as a third baseman, and I was wondering if you ever wanted to play any other positions than third base. And what would your advice be for younger kids that like baseball, but they like basketball, they like football? Would you tell them, you know, play all the sports you can while you're young?
You're absolutely right. I'd say play all the sports that you can. You know, we didn't have high school baseball at Little Rock Central when I was there in 52, 3, and 4, I guess, and I graduated in 55. I mean, all my baseball was outside of high school. I know they have a team now. But, you know, I signed as a second baseman. I played 4 years at second base in a Legion ball, and I signed as a second baseman. And I played my first 50 games professionally. And then Paul Richards, who was a manager for the Orioles, and George Stoller, who was my manager at York, Pennsylvania, thought I'd be better off at third base because I didn't have good speed. You know, I tell people I looked for the steal sign for 20 years and never got it. So they just thought in the long run, third base is more of a reflex position, and your first three or four steps are probably the most important ones. But I played 50 games at York at second and then moved to third, and I was the third baseman the rest of my career.
You were probably, you know, as far as defensive third basemen, one of the best to ever play the game. And so that's pretty cool. I love to talk to former players, and especially if a player that's in the Hall of Fame, it's just fun to get to hear you, you know, talk about the game.
Sure. Well, I tell kids, I'm not in the Hall of Fame because I had great ability. I had a very average arm. I had great hands, got rid of the ball quickly, hit well in Legion ball, but that's no sign you're going to hit well in professional baseball. No one knows that. I mean, they can think you can do it, but then again, you might not do it. But if you run well, you're going to run well in the big leagues. If you're slow, you're going to be slow. If you can throw hard as a pitcher, you're going to be able to throw hard. But the one big part of dimension of the game is you don't know if a guy's going to be able to hit, and that was the big question mark in my career. Would he be able to hit big league pitching? But I tell kids that I'm in the Hall of Fame. Surely I had some ability, but I think my love for the game overrode everything else. I mean, I love the game of baseball, and I always wanted to be a baseball player, and my dad had a lot to do that. I tagged along after him, and you know I got the opportunity to play and at the right time, the right team, and it couldn't have worked out any better.
Well, Mr. Robinson, and I'm going to say Mr. Robinson. I know you want me to call you Brooks, but I'm going to have to disagree. You had some ability. 16 Gold Gloves. You had some ability on the baseball field.
Yeah, I won MVP, a gold glove from 75, I guess, or 76, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. But that was a big thrill, being known as the best fielder at that position. And I had a lot of fun. I had great teammates, and it couldn't have worked out any better. I think that someone asked me what was the big, not the biggest thrill, but when you look back on your career, what do you enjoy most about it? And I tell people, I played with one team longer than anyone in the history of baseball, along with Carl Yastrzemski. He played a full 23 years with the Red Sox, and I played part of or all of 23 years with the Orioles. And that was a big thrill. I live here now. I have four children. I have four in college now, four grandchildren in college. So I just made my home here. My wife is from Canada and Detroit, and we've been living here a long time, but there's nothing like getting back home.
Well, Mr. Robinson, we appreciate the time today, and I know that a lot of people around Central Arkansas are going to be at Lamar Porter Field on Saturday to not only see you, but thank you for coming home. And on behalf of Matt and Freaky Joe back in the studio, I want to thank you for joining us here on Overtime today. And for all of those people this weekend, thanks so much for what you're doing and coming back and helping Lamar Porter Field out.
All right. Thank you for calling. We'll do it again.